Brothers and sisters, I love Sister Bednar very much for a number of reasons, but I'm sure you could feel the power of her testimony as she bore that today. This is the first time in 21 years at the beginning of a fall semester that I have not been involved in teaching a class. I mentioned to the faculty that I view myself as a teacher who is now working as a president, not a president who used to be a teacher. As unusual as it may seem, what I'd like to try to do today is transform this Hart Auditorium into a very large classroom. And I need your help to do that. Number one, you should have gotten the word to bring your scriptures. I'd like you to hold them up if you have them. Now keep them up. I know the difference between a songbook and the scriptures, so don't do that. Purses do not count. Okay, very good. Now, some of you need to repent. Some of you may not have known, therefore you are not held accountable to that law. But if you heard the word about bringing your scriptures and you didn't bring them, if I preside and if I participate, don't do that again. Now, put them on your lap. Unzip them. You may even need to have a small piece of paper and a pencil or a pen to be able to jot down some of the thoughts that come to your mind and the feelings that may come to your heart. And if you would, let's begin by turning to section 50 of the Doctrine and Covenants. Doctrine and Covenants, section 50, verses 13 and 14. Now, I'm going to ask some questions along the way. Obviously, this setting is not appropriate for you to participate and give an answer. But in your mind, what I'd like you to do is respond to the questions that I will ask. D&C, section 50, verses 13 and 14. Wherefore, I, the Lord, ask you this question. Unto what were ye ordained? To preach my gospel by the Spirit, even the Comforter, which was sent forth to teach the truth. Question number one, what is the responsibility that you or I have as we teach a Sunday school class or speak in sacrament meeting or have any other opportunity to proclaim the gospel? It is to preach. If you and I preach by the power of the Spirit, who then is the teacher? Look very carefully in verse 14. It is the Holy Ghost, the third member of the Godhead, who ultimately is the teacher to whom we should listen. Brothers and sisters, as we assemble in a setting like this, the vast majority of us have made sacred covenants in the waters of baptism, have had hands placed upon our heads and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. In this community of saints, there is a tremendous opportunity for an outpouring of the Spirit. So the things that will mean the most will not be what Sister Bednar or what I say today, but rather what you feel and the thoughts that come to your mind by the only teacher that really matters, which is the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Now, in verse 22, it describes what happened when that process works well. And both you and I have a responsibility to make that process work. He or she who preaches must do so by the power of the Spirit. He or she who listens must listen by the power of that same Spirit. And when that occurs, we see the result described in verse 22. Wherefore he that preacheth and he that receiveth understand one another, and both are edified and rejoice together. Three things that occur when that process works. There's understanding, there's edification, which means spiritual uplift, and there is rejoicing together. That should be the result of occasions such as today when we come together to worship as a community of saints. Now, in the scriptures, there are words that have multiple meanings. And today I want to discuss one of those words and one of its unique meanings. And we'll begin by turning to section 130 of the Doctrine and Covenants. The word that I'd like to discuss with you today is the word intelligence. And this particular word is highlighted in verses 18 and 19 in section 130. Whatever principle of intelligence we attain unto in this life, it will rise with us in the resurrection. And if a person gains more knowledge and intelligence in this life through his diligence and obedience than another, he will have so much the advantage in the world to come. Next question. Are knowledge and intelligence the same thing, or are there differences? Some of you are nodding your heads, I think, in response to the question, are they different? And the answer is yes. One can accumulate knowledge in the form of facts or information or data. Intelligence is the application of what we know for righteous purposes. That may even bear repeating. Intelligence is the application of what we know for righteous purposes. There's an element of action. There is an element of obedience in true spiritual intelligence. Now again, take a look in verse 19, and we're going to dig a little bit deep here. Look at the order in which knowledge and intelligence are presented. Knowledge first, intelligence second. Now I want you to follow along in the next line and look at the parallel between those terms, knowledge and intelligence, and how they are achieved. Knowledge and intelligence in this life through his what? Diligence. And what? Obedience. Now link knowledge and intelligence with diligence and obedience. How does knowledge come? Through diligence. What is that? Hard work. Perseverance. Sticking at it. How does intelligence come? Through obedience. Intelligence is the application of that which we know for righteous purposes. Now, keep your finger in section 130, because I want to look back here in just a second. Turn to section 88. And there we want to read together verse 118. Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verse 118. Can you hear all those pages rustling? Isn't that a beautiful sound? 5,500 young people gathered together with scriptures on your lap. I can't think of anything I like better than the sound of all those rustling scripture pages. Section 88, verse 118. Now, this is a familiar verse. We've heard this many times, but I want to draw your attention to the sequence and the pattern that is contained in this verse. And as all have not faith, seek ye diligently and teach one another words of wisdom. Yea, seek ye out of the best books words of wisdom. Seek learning, even by what? Study, and also by faith. That sequence parallels what we find back in section 130. In fact, if you take your scriptures, and don't mess them up, but if you look at those two verses side by side, this is what we learn. Knowledge comes through diligent study. Diligent, we learn in verse 19 in section 130. Study comes from verse 118 in section 88. Knowledge comes through diligent study. Now make the connection. How does intelligence come? Through faithful obedience. Brothers and sisters, if there's a point I would have each of us leave here today understanding, it is that you and I are here at Ricks College to increase in intelligence. I don't mean ACT score. I don't mean IQ. I don't mean just the accumulation of facts. I mean a spiritual intelligence. The intelligence that I'm talking about is not an academic pursuit. It is a spiritual pursuit, where we learn and come to know and apply that which we know for righteous purposes. Earlier this afternoon, I was in my office, and I thought of just a few things that highlight the distinction between knowledge and intelligence. See if these make any sense to you. You and I may know the right things to do. That's knowledge. But if you and I are intelligent, we will consistently do the right things. It's one thing to know what to do, but intelligence is consistently doing the right thing. It is important and good and necessary to know that the gospel is true. Intelligence is consistently being true to the gospel. It's one thing to know that in our lives, principles of the gospel work. If you and I are intelligent, we will consistently work to apply the principles of the gospel in our lives. It's one thing to know and understand the importance of going to the temple. If you and I are increasing in intelligence, then the temple goes through us. It's not just a matter of going to the temple, but it's a matter of having the ordinances and the covenants and the spirit of the temple go through us. We may intellectually be aware that we should be active in the church. Intelligence is living in such a way that the doctrines of the church are active in us. That it's not simply something that we do as a ceremony on Sunday, but it is a part of who we are and what we do and what we think. I want to draw your attention to a couple of additional verses. Would you turn with me to section 101 in the Doctrine and Covenants? And I have a few verses that I want to read with you now, a few others that I will ask you to go home and reflect upon as we come to better understand the distinction between knowledge and intelligence, intelligence in the spiritual sense in which I'm talking about it. Section 101, verse 78. That every man and woman may act in doctrine and principle pertaining to futurity, according to the moral agency which I have given unto him, that every man may be accountable for his own sins in the day of judgment. I want to draw your attention to the very first line and the phrase, act in doctrine. Wouldn't you normally think doctrine is something that you study? Something that you learn, something that you remember. Isn't that an interesting phrase that the Lord in this revelation says, doctrine is something that you and I should act in? That's because ultimately the Lord is interested not just in knowledge, but in our intelligence, spiritual intelligence, applying that which we know for righteous purposes. In the New Testament, turn to John chapter 3. And we'll begin here in verse 19, John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Now listen carefully in verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Would you normally think of truth as something that you do? The message from the Lord in these revelations is that truth is something that we should do. Doctrine and principle are things that we should act in. Think of the phrase of King Benjamin at the conclusion of his teaching of the people. And if ye believe these things, see that ye do them. Brothers and sisters, you will find throughout the scriptures a pattern of knowledge being related to performance and doing and applying for righteous purposes. you're probably familiar with a place in the New Testament that indicates the fact the devils know that Jesus is the Christ. But the devils are not intelligent because they do not righteously apply that which they know. Point number one, you and I are here at Ricks College to increase in intelligence. Point number two, the Holy Ghost helps us to increase in intelligence. In the first section of the Doctrine and Covenants, the Savior describes this church as the only true and living church upon the face of the earth. Have you ever thought about that word living in that description? What is it that makes the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints a living church? It is the gift of the Holy Ghost and the attendant spiritual blessings. A question that each of us should consider might be this: am I a living member of the living Church of Jesus Christ? Intelligence, as I've described it thus far, helps us to become living members of that living church. Point number three, if this were a classroom, we would have a quiz right now, and I would say, what are the first two? I won't do that here. I won't ask anybody to stand up and recite the first two, but they're important. Number one, you and I are here at Ricks College to increase in intelligence. Number two, the Holy Ghost helps us to increase in intelligence. Number three, obedience invites the Holy Ghost into our lives. Now, I want to try to describe something that I hope I can do accurately and clearly. Many times young people think that obedience is constraining and restricting. I testify that obedience to the doctrines and principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only way to ever be free. Sister Bednar is free to play the piano. Sunday night in our home, she went into the front room, sat at the piano, and played for a very long period of time. Beautiful music. And she is free to do that. I am not free to do that. She has been obedient to the law of the harvest. She has prepared. She has practiced for many, many years. And so now when she has the desire, she is free to play the piano. I am eternally constrained because I have not paid that price. I have not practiced. I cannot do what she can do. She is free. I am not. She is free because she was obedient to the requirements that brought that freedom. And the freedom that you and I desire, not the freedom that the world portrays in a glitter and false allure, but the freedom that you and I desire comes only through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Agency and obedience are the issue. Now, I think it's customary for a president of Ricks College to talk about the dress and honor code. I want to do that in a very different way. It's not about hairstyles and earrings and clothing. It is about intelligence, as I've discussed it today. It is about agency. It is about obedience. Because obedience invites the Holy Ghost. As the Holy Ghost comes into our lives and we experience those gifts, we become living members of the living church. That is what the Dress and Honor Code is about. Can I teach you one principle about agency? I've been frankly amused as I travel around the church and I hear people say things such as this. A baptized member of the church may say, I have my agency. It's not necessarily the case that I have to live the law of tithing or the word of wisdom or to be chaste. I would suggest that individual does not understand the doctrine of agency. You and I exercise agency in the making of the covenant. When we come under that commitment, when we enter into that covenant, we voluntarily surrender a portion of our agency. And the consequences that come for violating the covenant are not within our control. It is not simply a matter of, I am free to choose. It is a matter of, we become covenant breakers. Think of the song that we sing, Choose the Right. It doesn't say choose what you want when you will. Agency is linked to a course of choosing the right. That's why we have agency. What did the Father say in the premortal council? We will prove them herewith to see if they will do all things whatsoever their Lord, their God, shall command them. Agency is to be used in choosing the right. It is not a neutral battle where we say, well, we hope it just works out. Brothers and sisters, we have that gift. It was given to us by the Savior through His atoning sacrifice. He died so that you and I would have agency. The only gift that you and I can ever give to Him is a voluntary surrender of our hearts back to Him through that agency. As we make covenants, we yield to Him a portion of that agency and basically say, Precious Savior, dear Redeemer, do with me what you will. I testify that that brings happiness. Brothers and sisters, I want to conclude by emphasizing the unique character of this community of saints that we have here at Ricks College. You and I have a series of responsibilities. Individually, we enhance and we improve this community of saints through meaningful personal prayer and scripture study. Collectively, and please listen, collectively we improve this community of saints as we properly worship together on an occasion such as today. The issue is not one of sitting quietly and not wiggling. The issue is one of proper worship and reverence. I've had the occasion to travel with some of the members of the Quorum of the Twelve. We will have one of the presiding high priests of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on this campus a week from right now. Brothers and sisters, as you and I prepare for that visit from a prophet of God, he will feel our preparation when he gets on this campus. How we dress, how we act, how we prepare to worship, the attitude that we bring into the Hart Building, to the Kirkham Auditorium, and into the Taylor Building will influence what he can teach by the power of the Spirit. Would you join with me this week in striving to better understand the doctrine related to worship and to reverence? And can we, as a community of saints, next week, and on every occasion when we come together such as this, worship in that true spirit, feel the outpouring of the Spirit, and grow in pure intelligence? Listen carefully to this statement from Elder Henry B. Eyring. The effect of sincere prayer and careful scripture study is to always feel an urging to do things. Real spiritual sight comes to the heart softened by obedience. It takes time, but it is the sure way to see. My dear brothers and sisters, with all the energy of my heart, I express my love to you. The weight of this responsibility has fallen upon our shoulders, line upon line, precept upon precept. But to see you assembled here today brings that in such a vivid way to the forefront of our understanding. Please don't hear just a trite statement, but feel the sincerity that Sister Vednar and I love you. We are honored to be here to serve you. I testify that God lives. I know that Jesus is the Christ. And I know that the Savior directs the affairs of His living church through living apostles and prophets on the earth today. These things I know, of this I testify, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.